Yeah, the San Francisco 49ers are in trouble. There's no other way to put it. I can't even mince words on this. I can't look at their performance I saw on Sunday and pretend this is a good football team capable of competing for a division title, for a conference championship, much less a Super Bowl. Coming into this season, the 49er players, the organization, the fans coined the phrase revenge tour to, I guess, use as their mantra, their motto for the 2020 season. This is going to be our revenge tour. Revenge from what? Because we lost the Super Bowl? It's nobody else's fault but the 49ers. They were up by 10 with 7 minutes left to go. So who are you seeking revenge against? Yourself? And that, to me, that whole mindset of that this upcoming season is going to be a revenge tour is the biggest reason why this team looks like shit. And to me, even if we get guys back healthy, I don't see it getting any better for this season and ongoing for the future. So with that being said, this is Deion Gordon. Welcome back to the Deion Gordon Podcast. I'm going to break down this debacle that took place last Sunday at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, California. The San Francisco 49ers got earth, wind, fire, and ice beaten out of them by the Miami Dolphins, 43-17. Ryan Fitzpatrick, 22-28, 350, three scores, no picks. Ryan Fitzpatrick out there playing Madden on rookie level. 49er defense, Swiss cheese, secondary made up of guys who were on the practice squad, bagging groceries last week, slicing meat in the deli. Brothers outside at labor ready at 5 o'clock in the morning waiting for a job to go paint fences or something like that. They had some brother in the secondary named Brandon Allen. Let me make sure I get this dude's name right. Brian Allen. Brian Allen is a fifth-round pick in 2017 from Utah, drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Brian Allen is only on the field because the 49ers secondary has been decimated by injury. Richard Sherman out with a calf, Emmanuel Mosley out with a concussion. Akello Witherspoon played, but he had told the coaching staff during the week he didn't think he'd be able to play due to a hamstring. Quan Williams out, so 49er defense is down to, like I said, these practice squad dudes who are on the practice squad for a reason. Dante Johnson's out, and he's not even that good. But this brother that played last Sunday, I can't destroy him too much. He's a practice squad guy. My consternation is more so with the defensive coordinator, Robert Saleh. Why would you put this guy out here in one-on-one coverage, leave him on an island against Devontae Parker, the Dolphins' best receiver? You have to game plan better. More so to that point, you have to make adjustments better. Robert Saleh struggles with making adjustments. There was no adjustment made other than to bench him when the score. The game was already out of hand by the time he got benched, but they should have known. Fitzpatrick's first completion in the game was a go route downfield on this brother. And really, the whole Dolphins game plan was to identify wherever Brandon Allen, number 48, was going to be lined up at and just exploit that matchup and throw it in his direction and take advantage of his limited capabilities. He's a practice squad guy. You can't fault the Dolphins. They just did what they're supposed to do. You have an inferior competition on the field, exploit it and take advantage. They played like shit on Sunday, the 49ers, in every phase, in every capacity. I would say the only group that played well were the linebackers. Everyone else was trash. Pure filth. Rancid, decrepit, bullshit, terrible football being played by a team who came into the season talking about getting back to the Super Bowl. And that's, to me, that's the crux of the matter. That's one reason, and perhaps the biggest reason, why this team is struggling so much so far this season. Even they're struggling with what was supposed to be the easy part of the schedule versus Arizona at home, on the road in New York versus the Jets and Giants in respective weeks. Coming back out here for Sunday night versus Philadelphia, playing against a 1-3 Miami Dolphin football team. This was supposed to be the easy part of the schedule. San Francisco is 2-3, and they haven't won a game at home yet. They're 0-3 at Levi's Stadium. Now the schedule ramps up. Now you got the Rams coming out here on Sunday night. That ferocious pass rush the Rams are bringing. Aaron Donald is just in a different league. There's an animal out there on that field. They played against Washington last Sunday. You know, Washington only carrying two quarterbacks for the game, Kyle Allen and Alex Smith, a.k.a. Lieutenant Dan. Allen gets hurt early in the game. Smith comes in there against that Rams pass rush in a wet field. I'm watching this shit on NFL Red Zone. I'm like, oh my God. It's really happened. I said it was going to happen, and it actually did happen. He's on the field on one leg going against this pass rush. Aaron Donald sacks him, and it's on top of his back, and you're just like cringing the whole time. This dude about to get his other leg broke. About to get his shit folded in half again. Fortunately, it didn't happen. But the Rams had about 8 sacks in that game versus Washington. Now they're bringing that out here to the Bay to line up against this 49er team with an offensive line that can't stop anybody. This loses week in and week out up front against the other team's defensive line. Just gets destroyed. There's no one on that 49er offensive line you can depend on. Mike McGlinchey's terrible. I think McGlinchey looks small. Like, I watch him more. Just watch him during the games, and I go back and watch tape. He just looks small for an offensive lineman. Like, you need to bulk up a little bit. Get in the weight room. Hit the buffet. Do something. Trent Williams missing tackles, missing assignments, turning around, looking at Laken Tomlinson like it's his fault. There's no leadership. You have your two tackles are both playing like shit. Your interior line can't stop anybody. There's communication breakdowns and an absence of leadership. This team misses Joe Staley. Because at least with Joe Staley, he was that guiding light. He was the guy you could trust was going to be there week in and week out. His voice carried a lot of weight in the locker room. Guys look up to him and respect him. He's not there. He retired. So who takes over the mantle of being the leader of that 49er offensive line? It hasn't been Trent Williams yet. It hasn't been Mike McGlinchey, Laken Tomlinson, Brunskill. No. None of these guys have it. You have quarterbacks who have no time to throw. And you have quarterbacks who, when they do have time to throw, miss open receivers from a clean pocket, overthrow, balls sail on them, inaccurate passes, or they're late with their reads, they can't read coverage. This team has a lot of problems. It goes deeper than just the 2-3 win-loss record. This team is looking very 6-10-ish right now. There's issues on every level. The running game and the linebackers, probably the two best groups of the football team. Everything else is depleted. And to me, it's the three biggest areas where the 49ers are deficient. Defensive secondary, that's due to injury. Offensive line, that's due to incompetence. And quarterbacking, and that's due to just being shitty. That's due to being overrated. That's due to just not being that good, not as advertised. So I'm gonna start with the quarterbacks. Jimmy Garoppolo, coming off a high ankle sprain, attempted to play last Sunday, was benched at halftime because his first half performance can best be described as mediocre. Mediocre might be a compliment. He was garbage. He played like pure shit last Sunday. I'm not gonna use the excuse that his ankle was fucked up. You know, typically guys with ankle injuries do, quarterbacks anyway, they have balls, they'll sail high on them, they'll overthrow people. If you're a right-handed quarterback, which Jimmy is, that's your plant foot. When you drop back to pass and you plant off that right foot and try to push it down the field, you try to generate that base from the ground up, square your shoulders up, and make accurate passes downfield. Garoppolo struggles with that when he's healthy, so I don't want to hear the excuse. I see a lot of people making that excuse. It don't jive with me. Week one, he was healthy. There was nothing wrong with either leg, either ankle, either foot. There was nothing wrong with him. Still missing guys in coverage. Still unable to read coverages. Still missing guys who are wide open. Still making inaccurate throws. Still having sloppy footwork. So that's week one when he was healthy. Jimmy Garoppolo's only played 2 good quarters of football the entire season. And that was in the first half versus the Jets. He was lights out. Beyond that, what are you seeing with this guy? What have you seen, period? Since he's been here, I've been a profound Garoppolo critic, and many have called me a hater, a doubter, I'm not a real 49er fan, etc. I hear all of it. I just call what I see. Jimmy Garoppolo got a $127 million contract based off a good 5-game sample. 5 good games in the end of 2017, where he threw 7 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. So based off a 7-5 touchdown to interception ratio, this dude got $127 million. For what? 2018, fresh off that big contract. He plays three games. All three performances are underwhelming. Week one, they lose to Minnesota. He played terrible in that game. Week two, they win versus Detroit at home. Matt Breida won that football game. Garoppolo was inconsequential. Week three on the road versus Kansas City, he was garbage once again. Played like shit. They were down by 28 at one point in that game. Trying to make engineer a furious comeback in the second half. Jimmy's running out of bounds. Gets hit on the sideline. His knee buckles. He's out for the season. Torn ACL. Rehabs, works his way back on the field. Last season, starts all 19 games the 49ers played last year, the 16 regular season games and the three postseason games. I would say an average performance. And so many other people will overrate him. So many people look at Jimmy Garoppolo like he's the second coming of Joe Montana. I never saw it. They look at him like he's the new 49er franchise quarterback. We don't have a franchise quarterback on our roster. That team went to the Super Bowl last year almost in spite of Jimmy Garoppolo. You go back to that postseason run, that divisional playoff game versus Minnesota, Jimmy threw about three or four passes that should have been intercepted. There was one play, Kendrick Bourne made an incredible play just to break up the potential interception. And then he actually threw an interception to Michael Kendrick sitting flat underneath on the coverage, in the zone coverage. Jimmy threw it right to him right before the half. In the second half, Kyle Shanahan essentially benched Jimmy Garoppolo without actually benching Jimmy Garoppolo. He called 16 consecutive run plays in that game. That's almost unheard of in today's modern-day football. Kyle Shanahan in a playoff game called 16 straight runs. 49ers end up winning. Move on to the NFC Championship game. Garoppolo threw eight passes, and the 49ers won anyway. Convincingly, Raheem Mostert ran the Green Bay Packers out of town. Raheem Mostert had a career day. So Garoppolo didn't have to do much. He only threw eight passes the entire afternoon. And then you get into the Super Bowl. And you go against a team with explosive, potent offense, the Kansas City Chiefs, with Patrick Mahomes and Ty Hill and Sammy Watkins, Mecole Hardman and Travis Kelce. All that firepower you got in Kansas City, you have to score points now. Fourth quarter, Super Bowl 54, San Francisco up by 10. Three straight drives in that game, San Francisco was unable to convert first downs. Three straight three and outs. What does that do? Gets your defense back on the field, tires them out. What does that do for Kansas City? Gives them the spark. They go on a 21-0 run to close out the game. They win the Super Bowl. In that fourth quarter, Super Bowl 54, Jimmy Garoppolo was 3 of 13, 36 yards, one interception. I repeat, in the fourth quarter of Super Bowl 54, your franchise quarterback, the guy you gave $127 million to, was 3 for 13, 36 yards, one pick. What an opportunity for 49er quarterback immortality in the same stadium going to the same end zone as Joe Montana did over 30 years ago when he hit John Taylor in the back of the end zone for a game-winning touchdown to win Super Bowl 23. With history in front of you, with the opportunity to cement your place in the pantheon of great 49er quarterbacks, Jimmy Garoppolo shit the bed because he's not a franchise quarterback. You saw what he gave you in the playoffs. His 13-3 win-loss record last season, that's defense, that's running game, that's Kyle Shanahan. Jimmy really only had five good games last year. Week 17 versus Seattle, both Cardinals games, that shootout in New Orleans versus the Saints, and the second Rams game. Five good games in a 19-game sample. Like I said, defense, running game, Kyle Shanahan won the other football games. It's not just me who doesn't believe in him. I don't think Kyle believes in him. Why was there talk about bringing in Tom Brady in the offseason? Why was there conversation about bringing in Aaron Rodgers? Once they saw that neither one of those situations was going to happen, they finally had to retreat and just settle for Jimmy. That's essentially what this team is doing. They're settling for Jimmy. You see what happens this season when the offensive line, I'll get to that in a little bit, but the offensive line is terrible. They can't block anybody. And no matter who plays quarterback for the 49ers, they're under constant duress. It doesn't matter if it's Nick Mullins, C.J. Beathard, or Jimmy. But if it's Jimmy, Jimmy can't move. Jimmy's a statue back there. He's playing football stuck in quicksand. He can't move. And you contrast that to the other teams. We can just look at our own division, the NFC West. You look at Russell Wilson, you look at Kyler Murray in particular. Athletic, dual threat, mobile cornerbacks. They can move. You have the game plan for them. There's different ways they can beat you. Jimmy is a sitting duck. Jimmy can only throw over the middle of the field. Jimmy can't throw outside the numbers. The two picks he had last Sunday versus Miami, outside the number throws. He's not good at it. He's only good at making throws in the middle of the field off play action. When Kyle Shanahan schemes someone wide open. Accuracy, decision making, he lacks. And to me, those are the two most critical attributes a quarterback needs to have. Accuracy and decision making. So I look at this, and this is going to sound crazy because we're only 5 games into it. I'm already thinking about next season. Who's going to play quarterback for the 49ers? Because I don't see it being Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy came into a situation this season where you had to think that the defense is going to take a step back. You're not going to get 2 seasons in a row where your defense is playing lights out like that. Ask the 2018 Chicago Bears. Ask the 2017 Jacksonville Jaguars. You get one of those seasons, one, where your defense is lights out, getting every turnover, getting every loose ball, applying pressure, playing this incredible football on a weekly basis. You get one of those years. You don't get it consecutively. This was a season where you had to anticipate the defense taking a step back. So to counteract that, the offense had to take a step forward. Everyone kept telling me before the season started that when a quarterback is in year 2 of Kyle Shanahan's offense, they play their best football. Matt Ryan won his MVP in 2016, the second year in Kyle Shanahan's offense. And I thought that was bullshit because Jimmy has been in this offense since 2016. So he's been in here longer than 2 years. But once again, everyone likes to give him excuses. Everyone says, well, this is his first year as a full-time starter. Now, he'll be healthy. You assume he's going to be healthy at the beginning of the season. He can't finish games. Tom Brady's 43. He finishes games. Drew Brees is 41. He finishes the game. Jimmy Garoppolo is 27. He's always hurt. Twice this season, he did not finish the game he started. He tore his ACL a couple years ago. He messed up his shoulder when he played for the Patriots. So now you have the question, outside of 1 year, what is his durability? Can he sustain it? Can he play week in and week out? Is he available to play? As the great Herm Edwards once said, the best ability a player can have is availability. Not enamored with this quarterback. Now, he's not the only issue, but it's the quarterback. It's the most important position in all the sports. If you have a great quarterback, that compensates for a lot of deficiencies in your team. We don't have a great, we have an average quarterback who needs a season like last year. He needs everything to go right to support him. He needs a defense to get turnovers. He needs a defense to make plays. He needs the running game to score. And he's his coach to put him in advantageous situations on a weekly basis. He is not on that level where he, as by himself, can take over a game and take you to where you need to go. He's debatably a top 15 quarterback in this league. Now, to me, that's open to interpretation. That's open for debate. He's debatably a top 15 quarterback in the league. Top 20, I'll say that, but if you want to put together a list of 15 people you think are better at quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo, I'll read it and I'll be willing to entertain it. Because to me, he's top 20. I don't even think he's top 15. For this team to compete in this division against this gauntlet of a schedule coming up, the quarterback had to play at a high level. And I know the offensive line is terrible, and I know there's issues going on. I know you're hurt. But that performance last Sunday, that's not enough. That's not going to cut it. 7 of 17, I don't know, like fucking 10 yards, something like that. I'm not even going to look up the stats to get it right. That game doesn't deserve accurate stats. The whole performance was pitiful. Other than linebackers and running game. The offensive line, like I said, these guys have no leadership, no direction, no accountability. Trent Williams looks like a shell of himself. Mike McGlinchey needs to eat. Tomlinson, Brunskill, they always get pushed around. They get bullied up front. Our defensive line, those guys are trying. They're playing hard. Eric Armstead's got to do a better job of finishing plays. He gets to the quarterback, and then that's it. Usually the quarterback gets away from him. He did a better job of setting the edge this past week, though. There wasn't too many quarterback scrambles like there usually is on his side. We're not going to leave Kyle Shanahan out of this either. Kyle's got to do better coaching. Kyle has to make adjustments. Kyle cannot just get so caught up in the fact that he's an offensive genius that he just refuses to deviate from the game plan and make any type of adjustments. Kyle has to trust his running game more. The running game is working. You know, McKinnon and Mostert both are averaging over 5 yards a carry. So you have to trust your run game. That's what got us to the Super Bowl last year. But to me, this season, some of the formations we're lining up in, some of the plays we're not calling, where are the jet sweeps? Where are the end arounds? Where are the reverses? When you called them, they worked. Brandon Ayuk scored in one of those 2 weeks ago against the Giants. Like, we've gotten some big plays here and there. The offense is not missing a bunch of people like the defense is. We got most of our heavy hitters back. Kittle was back. Debo was back. Ayuk is out there. You had your starting quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo. There's no excuse for that team to put up only 17 points. When you got all your guys on offense and the genius Kyle Shanahan on the sideline, and you only scored 17 points. They were never in that game. San Francisco was never in that game. They came out flat as they had for the other two home games, week one versus Arizona, week two versus Philadelphia, and then they got another home game this Sunday versus the Los Angeles Rams. That's another division opponent, and that's another team I just look at, I see them being better than the 49ers. I look at the other three teams in our division. I think all three teams have better quarterbacks. And I think all three teams are better than the 49ers right now. Seahawks are undefeated. Russell Wilson's on his way to being league MVP. He's in a different class. But he's in that Mahomes class. It's those two. It's 1A and 1B. I think Jared Goff is much better than Garoppolo. Kyler Murray is better than Garoppolo. Ryan Fitzpatrick last Sunday. Ryan Fitzpatrick, period, I think is better than Garoppolo. Some people might hear this and they'll object to it. I don't fucking care. That's just what I see when I watch the games. I don't believe in him. I don't see a guy that I think can take us to where we need to go if everything else around him just doesn't work. I just don't see it. This was a show and prove season. He's not shown and proved it yet. I think the whole team is stuck in a malaise. Like, collectively, the organization, the fan base, the front office, they're all still in the fourth quarter of Super Bowl 54, and they all thought that when this season started, we were just going to pick up in the fourth quarter and play on from there. It doesn't work like that. It's a brand new year. Every other team is trying to get good. Every other team exhausts all their resources in the offseason to improve their football team. And the 49ers were so arrogant, they thought all we got to do is bring back 18 and 22 starters as we did. We almost won the Super Bowl last year, so just bringing back starters from last season is enough for us to go win a championship this year. That's bullshit. That's a stupid way of thinking. You have to add on. You have to improve. Other teams improved. Seattle improved. They brought in Jamal Adams. Cardinals improved. They brought in DeAndre Hopkins. The Rams improved. They brought in Jalen Ramsey. The other three teams got better. They brought in impact football players for their team. Who the 49ers bring in? We lost people. They lost DeForest Buckner. They lost Emmanuel Sanders. How did the 49ers get better? You know, Kinlaw and Ayuk, I think, are good draft picks. I think they're going to be great. But they're still rookies. They're still trying to find themselves. You don't replace what DeForest Buckner gave you last season with one draft pick. It took DeForest Buckner a couple years to be DeForest Buckner. So Kinlaw is a project. He's raw. He's played well, but he's not going to be at the level of DeForest Buckner already. Ayuk is good, but Ayuk is not the route runner that Emmanuel Sanders is. You saw in the Monday night game last night, Emmanuel Sanders could still play. Now, I know a lot of that was about cap hits, cap space, not being able to afford certain players. They had to make a decision. Did they want to pay Buckner? Did they want to pay Armstead? They elected to pay Armstead. They had to save money to give George Kittle a big contract. The money he was looking for. But I just look at this team from a realistic standpoint. I see shaky quarterback play. I see a non-existent offensive line. I see a defense in shambles with injuries everywhere. And I don't see the magic of last season applying to this season. Last season is last season. It's over. 49er fans and everyone else affiliated with this team that watches this team, supports this team, has to stop living in the past and thinking that success from last season was going to carry over to this season. This is a brand new year. And for an alleged Super Bowl contender to go out and get washed 43-17, to a one-win football team, to the Miami Dolphins, how else are you supposed to feel coming out of a loss like that? You got to be realistic about things. You have to call things as you see it. And that's just the way I see it. I see a mess of a football team. I see a team that doesn't have the components they had a year ago, and their quarterback is not ascended to a higher level to compensate for that. You know, and I don't want to be too reactionary, because at the end of the day, it is only one football game. We are 2-3. It is still early in the season. They could make some noise. They could get some guys back. But I feel like the basis of my critiques of the five-game sample I've seen are accurate. You know, our quarterback situation isn't that good. Our offensive line's trash. Our head coach is too caught up in being a genius and trying to prove to everyone how smart he is. And our defensive coordinator can't make in-game adjustments. We don't get any big plays in the return game. And Ryan Fitzpatrick just lit us up for 350 yards. So if Ryan Fitzpatrick can light us up for 350 yards, what is Russell Wilson going to do? What is Jared Goff going to do this Sunday? What is Aaron Rodgers going to do in a couple of weeks? Drew Brees, Josh Allen. What are these good quarterbacks, consistently good quarterbacks, going to do to the 49er defense? This Sunday's game is the biggest game of the season, and this past Sunday's game could potentially be a turning point. That could be a game you look back at the end of the season and say, that's when the whole season flipped, because you lost that game 43-17, and then that galvanized the team, and you were able to go on a run and finish the season strong, make the playoffs, win the division, etc. Or you can look back at that 43-17 performance and say, that right there was the moment we all knew the 49ers were fucked. They were never the same after that game. They never recovered. They never rebounded. Miami exposed them. They got destroyed, and they folded their tent. So that's a potentially big game. This Sunday is a big game. How do they respond with that 43-17 ass whooping? Hopefully a lot better. I don't know how you fix some of these problems during the week. I don't know, you just tell guys to block better. But Kyle, it's not just Jimmy on the hot seat right now. I won't say Kyle's on the hot seat because he's got a contract extension. But this is a moment. If Jimmy had to show and prove this season, then so does Kyle. Kyle has to prove to everyone that he is everything that everyone says he is. He is that genius. He is the smartest guy in the room, the offensive guru. Because if you look at Kyle's win-loss record in his time with the 49ers, granted, a lot of that was rebuilding the team from how shitty it was when he got here. But he's under 500. You know, I think he's like 25-28. He's an under 500 head coach. So this is an opportunity this season with what we have, with all the injuries, with the, you know, extenuating circumstances that you have to deal with the pandemic and everything. This is an opportunity for Kyle to prove how great of a coach he really is. Or is he really one of those great coaches? It's show and prove season for the 49ers. We'll see what happens going forward. Until then, that's it for me. Deion Gordon Podcast. Picture me rolling. I'm out.